welcome to the New Author Podcast with your hosts, Jerry Evanoff and Lindsay Evanoff. The Super Siblings will take you through their days as they write, publish, and market their books. They'll talk about their successes, their mistakes, and everything in between. And occasionally, they'll veer off into tangents that will most likely be discussion of which episode of The Office is their favorite. Seriously, they talk about The Office a lot. So sit back, relax, and prepare to be educated and entertained, but mostly entertained.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the New Author Podcast. This is May 24th, 2020, episode number 78. My name is Jerry Evanoff. I'm one of the hosts, and with me, as always, is my sister, Lindsay. Lindsay, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Yeah? It's a nice day. Do you have a nice day down there? You guys have nice weather anyway all the time, right?
Well, for the most part, I think today's high is about 88, so it's going to be a bit warm, but it's sunny.
Yeah, this weekend we're supposed to get into the 80s, and it's the first time. I think today is supposed to be like right at 80, and then my golf Tuesday night weather report is like 85 and sunny, so I'm very excited about that. Yeah, it'll be the first really good weather golf I've had. So,
yeah.
All right, let me jump right into my stats here. I'm gonna break this up a little bit more than I usually do, and I believe my next door neighbor is cutting their grass right now because I just heard a mower kick on.
I can't hear it.
You can?
No.
Okay, good. Okay. So anyway, statistically speaking, the number that I give every week is the number that my Scrivener document is at. There's 51 chapters in there, and 26 of those chapters are complete, finished, done. The only reason I would have to go back to them is if I want to seed something in. I probably will do one more read through before I send it to the editor, but that document is at 59,251 words, which is up 1,027 from last week, which makes me very happy to hit a number like that. But I will say, of the 26 chapters that are complete, there are 35,883 words. So that's about the halfway point. That means I'm going to get to probably 70,000. And two of the chapters I still have to do, I've skipped over them so far, are they're like 3,000 or 4,000 words. I'm averaging like 1,000 to 1,500 words per chapter right now, but those two are going to be big. So I'm probably going to get to 75,000 words, which is the number that I wanted to hit for this whole thing. So that's my word count right now. And like I said, I have 26 out of the 51 complete and done. And I'm very happy about that. MailerLite. So last week when this podcast started, I was at 463 subscriptions. I had discovered that if I export the CSV from BookFunnel and import it into my MailerLite, it actually took me to 490, which made me very happy because my goal was to get to 500. I am currently sitting at 533 email subscribers,
woo-hoo! Which,
yeah, that means I got 43 more email subscribers this week, and it just continues my love for BookFunnel. Like BookFunnel has been amazing in building this. And I'm not sure why they're different from the other two. Maybe they have more subscribers. Maybe the subscribers they have are more likely to click on the books and download them. Maybe the promos that I get in have authors with better lists. I have no idea what it is. All I know is I love BookFunnel. And I'm now shooting for 600 subscribers by the time book two comes out. I feel like I'm getting greedy, but I'm only 67 away, and I still have 2 weeks left, 3 weeks left of this book funnel one, and then another one for Story Origin in June. So maybe I can get to 600. That would make me very happy. And finally, and I know this is what you wait for the most, I feel like I should have some kind of a sound clip in here, like a dun da da da. I golfed last week. I shot a 50 again. I hate when the number starts with a 5. I had a couple of bad shots. I started off the round not so good with two straight. You don't know what a bogey is? I started off with two straight triple bogeys.
Ooh, so, that sounds amazing.
No, it's bad. It's bad.
Oh.
And then, so I was plus 6 after 2 holes and then plus 8 on the final 7 holes. So I got better as the night went on. But, it happens. What are you going to do? So those are my numbers that I choose to give out this week. How about you?
That you choose to give out.
Yeah, because there's other ones I could give out. Like I could give out my weight right now, but it's so terrible. Like it's really bad. I
think that goes for a lot of people these days.
Well, wasn't it supposed to be like, oh my God, we're quarantined. I can work out more. I don't have to deal with my drive to work and I'm going to have more time at home. I can work out. And it seems like everybody's just eating.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Me too.
Yeah, it's awful. So I'm currently at 85,947 words, so I'm down another 799, which I realize a contemporary romance, you know, is not typically 90,000 words, but boy, when I hit that 90,000 words, that felt good. And now I'm at 85,000 and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, is my book going to be too short?
No, so, I think you'll be fine. I know that you have in Word, it'll tell you how many pages it is. And then, right, is that right?
Yeah.
So in mine, when I did it, it turned out to be about 255 words per page. So 25,000 words was 100 pages. So based on that math, you're sitting at like 325 to 330 pages right now. So you should be okay. Now, I know yours probably says less.
Yeah, it says like 293. And I have it formatted so that it's like a 6x9. Like I did all the formatting in Word. So I don't know. I just... That 90,000 just felt good, but
I didn't think of that because my book, I think is like, what do I have? I have it written behind me. 5.25 by 8 is the size I use for paperbacks. And I ended up with a lot of words. So maybe a small, I don't know. What size are you going for?
In Word, I have it set, I think maybe I have it set on 5x8.
So I'm wondering if you're going to go with a smaller, you know, the size of my book, are you going to go smaller than that?
No, that's the size I want to go.
Okay, so I went 5.25 by 8 is the size I
want. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't have any new subscribers. I'm still sitting at 118 active and 1 unconfirmed. Again, I haven't really done anything to get new subscribers. I was messing around on BookFunnel looking at the different promos, and there was one that, boy, if my book was ready, I would toss it in there so fast. It was perfect for my book. But of course, I can't do that yet. As far as news goes, I sent the prologue through chapter 5 to my betas, along with a list of 14 questions. So I sent the section of the book through BookFunnel, which was an interesting process. Not really as hard as I thought it was going to be, but I definitely had to text you and like try to figure it out, which I kind of felt bad because you weren't even home. I don't know where you were.
I was at Home Depot.
Yeah. And you're like, I'll call you when I get home. And then I just kept texting you, asking you questions, completely ignoring the fact that you were busy.
It's possible that I was driving during some of those texts, but don't tell anyone.
Oh, bad, bad.
I was at red lights when I replied to you.
Yeah. Okay. You only say that 'cause mom's listening.
Yeah. Right.
I also sent a list of about 14 questions with the prologue through chapter 5, and I sent those via Google Forms, which I love Google Forms. Once I figured out how to use it, watched a few YouTube videos, it's really awesome. Like, you can really customize it, and I really like it a lot.
Have you gotten any responses?
No, not yet, because I was going to wait until tomorrow morning to send it out. And then one of my betas commented on Facebook, hey, why don't you send it out? And then I'll have the weekend to read it. And I was like, oh, okay, great. But only 2 of the 4 betas downloaded the section, which is fine, totally fine. But they need to read it and then answer the questions. So I haven't gotten any responses. I don't expect any responses until later in the week, which is fine.
You and I started that sentence with so, I apologize. You and I got into a discussion while we were texting yesterday about, and then I called you. Actually, when I was driving, I called you. That's right.
Yeah. Because
I didn't want to text while I was driving. We got into a discussion on whether or not you were going to require email addresses in your landing page. And I'm curious what you ended up settling on and why.
I didn't, because you said not to.
Well, no. So the question was, on BookFunnel, when creating your landing page, there are different options you have. And one of them is not to require email addresses when somebody goes to download. And one of them is to require. And you originally had wanted to require them because why?
Well, because I was thinking if somebody shares the link, then that person who is not one of my betas would have to enter their email address. And I would kind of be able to track who has this information.
Right.
Your argument was really, really, really weak. I mean, it was horribly weak. your argument was,
but you went with
it I would anyway. Be annoyed if I had to enter my email address to download it.
Well, it's
a terrible reason.
Not necessarily annoyed, but it's like, well, you already have my email address because you're emailing me. And like, why do you need to keep track of this stuff? For me, it'd be like, I'm a beta reader. Just let me download this stupid thing. And like, if I don't think I would worry that one of my beta readers was giving the first five chapters to somebody else. It might happen. It might happen with all five of them. They might give it to five other people. It's not going to hurt your sales. It's not really going to hurt anything. And, I don't know. I think it's almost like right now my book is out there and I'm sure it's on pirated sites because every book on Amazon is on pirated sites, but I don't care. I don't think it affects those people that are getting it from a pirated site weren't going to buy it anyway. So I don't think it's really affecting my sales at all. So and also, like I said, it's an unedited, you know, you have to go through it again after the betas talk to you. You said you might send it to the mom again and you have to send it to an actual editor. I mean, if they want to read a crappy book, then that's fine.
But it's not crappy. It is genius.
No, it's bad. I actually, the funny thing is when you sent this to me yesterday, I downloaded the first five chapters in the prologue also. And I will be reading it just so you know.
Wait, how did you download it?
Oh, you sent it to me to test it.
Oh, that's right. Well, there are four downloads. I'm one of them. I assumed you were one of them. But then the other two are two of my beta readers. And I almost wanted to collect email addresses just so I can see, like, all right, who's down? Just out of my own curiosity. So I might add that next time just because I'm curious and I want to know. And if my betas are like, well, that's a pain in the butt to have to enter my email address, and they're not going to be my beta because they have to enter their email address, then I'll find a different beta. I had 19 people asking me to be a beta.
No, it won't go that far. They won't even say anything to you. It's almost like a barrier. It's like when you do this, you know, you need to remove as many barriers as you can for people to actually read your book. And that goes for like when you're trying to sell it or, you know, when I send an email out to my list and say, please buy my book, I don't put a link to my website and say, okay, here's my website. If you click here, it'll take you to Amazon because people might click there, but how many of them are not going to click through? I'd rather just send them directly to Amazon. And that's all. That's where my thinking was the whole time is that the whole barrier thing. So
yeah,
I don't know what the right way is.
Well, I didn't, but listen, when you read it, I'll send you the link to the Google form and you can answer questions.
Okay.
You can be an unofficial beta.
Okay.
Who doesn't? Some of the questions on there are, let's see here. Were the first paragraphs and first page compelling? Did they make you want to keep reading? If not, what was the problem? Did you get oriented fairly quickly at the beginning as to whose story it is, what's going on, and where and when it's taking place? If not, what were you confused about in the beginning? Did the story continue to hold your interest through the first few chapters, or is there a point where your interest started to lag? Could you relate to the main characters? Could you feel their pain or excitement? Let's see here. What characters are you curious to know more about after reading this installment? Were there any parts that confused you or frustrated or annoyed you, made you feel uncomfortable? Which parts and why? Did you notice any discrepancies or inconsistencies in time sequences, places, character details, or other details? I'm not reading all of them, just a few here. Let's see here. Did you understand every phrase or term I used? If not, which ones? So I just want to make sure that they want to keep reading the story. And if there was anything that they were like, whoa, that's weird. That's kind of where I was going with my questions.
Okay. I'll be curious to hear some of the answers. I don't know if you want to talk about them on the podcast or not, or at least maybe be general about them, but I'm curious to hear some of the
answers. I think if there's like, if more than one beta kind of says the same thing, then that's when I know I need to like, but if one beta is like, well, I didn't really understand that word. Okay, we'll get a dictionary because everybody else understood it.
Wow, that's harsh.
I know, it was really rude. but yeah, that's kind of where I went with that. Let's see here. I'm halfway done with draft six. So draft six is where I sent draft five to mom. and she's making more corrections. And it's mostly like, there have been a couple show this comments, but it's mostly like, that's cliche, change it, or take out these extra words that you don't need, or rephrase this because the sentence is a little weird. And so my corrections from her draft 5 go into my draft 6. And I'm on chapter 15, and there's 30 chapters. Mom is on chapter 18. So I'll probably catch up to her today, because it doesn't take me too terribly long to do these.
You said 18?
I'm on chapter, mom's on chapter 18. In the prequel, because I went back and I started to do draft 2 of the prequel, which mom did her edits on that last year. And it's horrible. It's basically a rewrite. I was a terrible, terrible writer. And so I'm like halfway done with chapter 3. So what I'll probably do after today, like during the week, I'll work on the prequel while mom kind of goes forward with the book 1. And then next weekend, I'll work on book 1 and like kind of catch up to mom again. So, because I don't want to be right on her heels, you know, I think that would annoy her. And then I'm looking into having a book trailer created, which I know everybody says, you know, it's kind of a waste of money. It's not going to add to your sales, blah, 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 blah. I think they're really cool. And whenever I go to an author page that has one, I always watch it because I love watching them. And I found one, I'm not going to say who it is because I haven't hired them yet, but it's $50 for 60 seconds, video clips and quotes and things like that. So I thought that was pretty good. And I'll probably work on that a little bit today too, just kind of doing like my general outline of the story to send to them.
Make sure the person that you hire allows whatever their price level is, make sure they allow for you to make changes to it. Like two or three different, because I did that with mine. And I basically rewrote the script for the whole thing once I was finished for that.
Well, person. I remember you saying that. And so when I'm writing the little synopsis, I guess, I want to make sure I use sentences that they could put directly in there.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what happened with yours. You did your synopsis and they pulled those sentences, but those sentences weren't.
I wrote paragraphs. I didn't write like little 6 or 7 word catchy things. I just wrote a paragraph of what it was about. So yeah.
Yeah. What else is in my news? Oh, I'm trying to decide if I should buy a new dishwasher. Our dishwasher, I mean, it's fine. The soap dispenser doesn't always open, so we have to rerun it, which is kind of a pain. And it doesn't dry at all. Like, everything is still soaking wet, even when we have it on the dry cycle. It's okay. But I found this dishwasher at Lowe's that I really, really like. And it's on sale right now for Memorial Day. So do I want to spend $500 on a dishwasher when the one that I have is just fine? I don't know. I have until June 3rd.
So unlike you.
When the sale ends. What's unlike me?
It's very unlike you to be like, do I really want to spend this money if I don't have to? Like, you always yell at me for that stuff. Weird.
I guess I'm having a weak moment. Memorial Day sales and the quarantine are catching up to me.
I guess.
Also, the last thing in my news, my ears are weird.
Can you just repeat that, please?
My ears are weird.
What does that mean? I saw that on the outline and went, what is going on?
Not how they look. I think I have perfectly fine ears. Okay, so my left ear, it hurts. Like, almost like I can feel my eardrum. It just hurts. And my right ear, I can hear fluid in my ear. That's not right. Something's wrong with my ears. They're weird.
Might want to see a doctor about that.
Yeah, I mean, it just started yesterday, and I took some, like, sinus medicine thinking, well, maybe it'll, like, clear up, but it didn't. And then Jeremy does this thing. So Jeremy is a scuba diver. He's an instructor. Like, I don't even know how many certifications he has. When he gets a diver's ear, I don't know what it's called. Okay. It's really painful, but he has this mixture of like alcohol and hydrogen peroxide. I don't really know how he does it. But he like pours it in his ear and then he lets it sit for a minute and then he drains it out and it takes away the pain and it clears everything up. So I was thinking about having him do his little concoction to see if that helps. but what if that makes it worse? And then I go to the doctor and they're like, well, what did you do? And then I tell them what Jeremy did and they're gonna be like, hey, stupid, why would you do that? But my ears are weird. I don't know what to do.
I'm not sure
how my news.
Not really sure how to follow that.
I don't think that there's any segue into your news from that.
So I continue to look at my non-writing goals.
So I'm going to forget about what she said and go on.
I don't know how to start the next sentence. It's almost like when I write everything with ellipses.
Yeah.
So like I don't really start sentences with ellipses, but I end so many sentences and emails to people with ellipses instead of a period. I don't know why I do that. And it's kind of the same thing. It's like you finish talking and I thought, well, I don't really like the silence. So I'll just go, so as a way to get into the next sentence. Like, I don't know.
Okay. Well, it's, you know, the whole teenagers and like. And I like, and they like, and I like, and like.
It's my crutch. Like.
It is.
It's my crutch, yeah. Anyway.
You should make it your summer resolution to search for better words, Mr. Then I'd Writer
have to,
Man.
Then I'd have to think about what I said before I said it.
Oh, no.
I don't want to take that. I don't have that kind of time.
It's a good thing you don't hang out with too many people. Geez.
That's true. All right.
Anyway, hey, let's hear about your news.
Okay. There, I didn't say it. My non-writing goals.
There you go.
My non-writing goals are what I continue to think about or work on when I'm not writing. So the number one, first one is get to 500 email subs. Well, I obviously blew by that one. And now the new goal is to get to 600. And like I said, I might be getting a little greedy here, but I'm only 67 away. And I think I could, depending on how this story origin one goes, I could get there. So the book funnel runs until June 15th. There's 158 books. Well, there were 158 books when I checked it last week. I'm going to open it up right now and check to see how many are in there. I'm not counting on live on the podcast because that would be annoying, but it might actually tell me at the top. So hang on. So your promos, fantasy and sci-fi giveaway, there are 158. So there are 158 books in this one, which is just a huge number. And I think I talked about this before, 158 books. If somebody were to click on somebody's link in their email and go to this page, I doubt anyone's going to download 158 books. So how do they decide which ones to download? I don't know the answer to that. My guess is cover, and I'm using cheap because they were pre-made covers that I get from a website. I believe it's called Go On Create or Go Create. I don't know. I'm a big fan of
one. Yeah. I have some credits on that one. And I was thinking about using that for my prequel.
Let me see. Oh, it's Go On Write. I'm sorry. It's goonwrite.com. I'll link to it in the show notes. But I know, I think at some point last year, I don't know if it was like July 4th or Labor Day, there was some holiday where the guy who runs it was offering a sale. And it was like $20 each for credits. So I bought seven of them because I knew I was going to write seven. At the time, I was going to write seven novellas. Now I think I might only write six, but who knows? I might write a seventh now that I have a free cover. And so I have to make sure that I get covers that are good. Well, he makes really good covers. So I think my cover is good. So what makes someone download your, I have no idea other than the fact that it's cover. So I've had 202 people click on my book and I've had 102 downloads. So I'm running at about 50% of people that click on my book in that promo download it. That seems too low. Maybe it's the same for everybody. I have no idea, but I would like to think, well, I guess my blurb is in there. So maybe my blurb has something to do with it. Maybe they like
probably
the cover.
The cover is going to get them to click on it to at least read the blurb. And then the blurb is going to get them to download.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have to go back. Now I went in and changed my, my novel blurb a couple months ago. Maybe I'll take a look at my, my blurb for my novella. In fact, let me make a note, novella blurb. I'll do that in my story origin and see if the percentage is any different. The story origin starts June 1st, runs for a month. There's only 27 authors in it across 37 books. So there are some authors that have more than one book in there. That's the type of one where I feel like everybody's gonna send it to their mailing list. they open their, the mailing, the person clicks the link, takes them to the page, and they're more likely to download all the books or a large percentage of them because there's only 37 books in it to choose from. You know, 158 books, you're not going to sit there. Maybe somebody will, I don't know, but it's time consuming to click and then put your email address in and then hit download and go through the process and do it for every book. So that's where I'm at about 50% on BookFunnel. And I remember, I think it was Prolific Works where I had the same basic percentage. I think it was just over 50% on Prolific Works also. So we'll see how Story Origin goes. But again, I'm 67 emails away from 600. And I know I keep saying at some point I'm going to stop doing these free promos, but I mean, they're getting me clicks. They're getting me new subscribers. I don't know why I would stop. It's not even time consuming. It takes 15 minutes to put it on there. The book is already in my download list, my list. I just select it, put a little bit of information in and click and go. And then the only thing I have to do is I have to commit to a certain date when I'm going to send an email. Well, mm-hmm. I'm sending emails every 2 weeks anyway. So I just commit to whatever that date is. And I send it. So speaking of that, I did send that email last week for the BookFunnel promo. The BookFunnel promo started on May 14th and I sent the email on June 17th. So I sent the promo started on Thursday. I sent it on Sunday. And at the time I had a low open rate and a low click rate because it had only been sent for about 3 hours. And again, just like every email I've sent, I made it to the same number. Over the last, I don't know, 8 or 9 emails, I average, it's actually over, you know what, over the last 10 or 12, since I've started sending emails, my high is 43%, but that's only when I had 86 people on my list and I knew most of the people on my list. Yeah. So I got, you know, more opens. I got very little clicks, by the way. So thanks to all my friends and family and your friends who opened it, and thanks for not clicking anything. So then here's a funny one. I sent another one July 7th. My book launched on July 4th. I sent an email on July 7th. 35% of the people opened it. That's pretty good, I think. I don't know. 0% clicked it. So thanks again to those people on the list who I knew, who, by the way, probably bought it. They just didn't click the link. Then it started where my list would go up. So 94 people, 100 people, 178, 274, 276, 243. Ooh, it dropped. That's because I deleted a bunch of people. 268, 316, 393, 421, 450, 466 was the last one. And my percentage of people who have opened since then is generally between 29 and 32. And this one hit 30.1, right between that number again. So I'm really getting 3 out of every 10 people. That seems too low for opening.
Do you think sending them out every 2 weeks has something to do with that?
I don't know. Do you think I should send it out more or less?
Less.
I don't know. To be honest, I sent one out on January 27th, 31%. This is the one time I took some time off. I took the month of February off because, as you know, I hate February. March 2nd, I sent another one. 268. So 243 in January, the very end of January, 268 people, the very beginning of March. The open percentage in January was 31. The open percentage in March was 29.9. The click percentages were both really low in that case. Then I started sending them every 2 weeks. So March 15th, March 29th, April 11th, April 26th. I waited 3 weeks for this one because of the book funnel, May 17th. The open rate is since March 2nd, when I've been sending it every 2 weeks, the open rate is 20, 30, 33 and a half, 31, 32, 30, 30. I mean, it's, now I rounded up and down in that case, but it is almost exactly the same. The click rates since March, 7.12. That was the first one that I had sent since March. It was really low, but then 12, 17, 15, 12, 15 and a half. It's the same every time.
Because I send out a newsletter the last Tuesday of every month, and I have less people than you. I mean, like right now I have 118, but I'm in the 40s as far as open, like the high 40s as far as open rate, and like about 15 for a click rate.
Percentages? Or yeah. Okay, so I think I can speak to that. If you look at my first 4 emails, which were June 16th of last year, July 7th, September 2nd, and October 1st, no, November 1st, I had 86, 88, 94, and 100 people. Those are when I had the majority of the people I knew who I was, because they were, again, friends and family and your friends. And And my open rates were 43, 35, 35, 41. Those are four of the highest. In fact, those are the four highest numbers I have. So my guess is as you get more people on your list who don't know you, your open rate will go down a little bit.
Okay.
I've had unsubscribes, and I know some of those unsubscribes are from people I know, which is a little insulting, but whatever.
Yeah, my one unsubscribe is somebody that I know, and I was like, yeah. What the heck?
Yeah, which I kind of get because, you know, if my friend Sean puts out a book on hunting and I don't care about hunting, I'm probably not going to subscribe. I'll subscribe at first because I know him, and then I'll probably unsubscribe right after that too, just the way he did. Well, actually, he didn't. His wife did. Anyway. I said so to start my own sentence. So that I was discounting what I had just said to
your
move on
own to statement.
Terrible.
Anyway.
I almost said it again. I don't know how to start a sentence without saying it now.
Anyway.
It's the same thing though. Anyway.
It's not discounting. It's saying now I'm going to move forward.
All right. It's two syllables. I don't have that kind of time.
It's actually three syllables.
Oh, it is. Holy cow. So many words.
So much.
Now, I started thinking, I was listening. What did I say? Did I say now? Sorry. I was thinking, I'm going to learn to talk like an adult one of these days. Speak like an adult. Yesterday, I was listening to Paul Teague's podcast. His self-publishing journey podcast is sadly done, but he created five podcasts that are kind of like, here's different subjects of marketing. Last week, it was all about WordPress. This one was all about MailChimp. And one of the things he said was that he uses in MailChimp is this like a resend feature. I mean, you send an email out to 500 people, 150 of them open the email. Then a week later, what it'll do or a couple of days later, whatever you want to do, it'll resend the email. You can change the subject line to the people who didn't open. It'll resend it again to them. Now that's a pay feature in MailerLite. So I might pay for MailerLite. My only issue with that is you don't always know who opened your email. The way that emails, I think, are tracked is they'll stick this little pixel in the email. And when somebody opens the email, I think it used to be, and I don't know the details of this completely, but I think it's a picture. It's considered a picture file. It's a tiny pixel. You can't even see it. But when somebody opens an email and the pictures load, it counts it as being read. It marks it as being read. Well, my Outlook program does not automatically open pictures when I open somebody's email. I literally have to click a thing that says download pictures, which I generally do for the people if I know them. So if somebody out there reads it in their Outlook panel, what's it called? Their preview panel, where mm-hmm. it doesn't always open pictures. If they open it in Gmail and they don't have pictures activated, is it being counted as read? Like, is my open rate higher? Is your open rate higher? Because there are people that it's just not seeing, MailerLite isn't seeing that they read the email. So my fear is, what if I send it out and 150 people open it and then I send it to the other 350 people a couple of days later? Well, if they already read it, are they going to get annoyed and unsubscribe?
Right.
I don't think that's the case. And I think that you may get one or two that do that, but it might be worth it if you get 15 people to open it. Mm-hmm. I was looking this morning at some of my MailerLite people, and I have people who, where's my prolific works list that I was looking at? We'll get to that in a second too. So I have a prolific works group promo, and I looked at the top of it. This person here subscribed on March 26th. I've sent 10 emails to this person. They have 0 opens, 0 clicks. There's another one, 7 emails sent, 0 opens. Here's another one, 12 emails sent, 0 opens, 0 clicks. I mean, at some point, I just want to get these people off my list. And that is obviously, that's one way to kind of artificially or manually get your open percentage to go higher, is to get rid of the people who aren't opening it. Mm-hmm. But again, how do I know that they're not just reading it in their preview panel and MailerLite isn't seeing that they read it? I don't know. I don't know the answer to this. I think I saw a Joanna Penn thing. It might've been in Mark Dawson's Self-Publishing 101, but I think I saw it in a Joanna Penn blog or podcast or something, where she said what she'll do is every 6 months or so. Oh, you know what? I think it was Tammy LeBrec said in an interview. So the Newsletter Ninja lady in an interview said what she does is once or twice a year or some period of time throughout the year, she'll send an email to all the people who haven't opened an email once. And she'll say, hey, are you still reading my emails? If so, click here. And they click a button and it moves them to another list. And then eventually what she does is she just kills everybody off of the original list that have zeros. And that way she does have the people that are opening. I want to do that. I fear, and maybe because MailerLite is still free where it doesn't matter so much, but I fear kicking people off my list who are reading it and I just don't know it.
Yeah.
So I'm only at 533, soon to be 600. And I don't want to get rid of anybody yet. But once I start hitting, if I were to pay for this now, it still wouldn't be a big deal because I'd be paying for it. But if I was continuing to use it for free and I was at like 1100, then I might start going through and killing people if I didn't want to pay for it.
Yeah.
But like I said, I might pay for it anyway, just to try this thing where maybe I'll just do that with one. I'll change the subject line. Maybe I'll do that. This week I'll pay for MailerLite and then my email that goes out on June 1st, which is a Monday. I'm trying it on a Monday for a change because that's when the Story Origin promo starts. Maybe I'll do a resend to those people and just see what happens. See what happens with the percentages. See if it makes a difference. I mean, if I resend it to 350 people and the open rate is 0%, then how much was it really worth it? Maybe I'll just do $10. It's $10 a month or $84 for a year. Maybe I'll just do $10 once and see how it goes. And then if it doesn't really do much, I won't re-up until I get to 1,000 emails.
Yeah.
But I feel like I rambled there. Sorry about that.
You were thinking out loud.
I really was. I did that whole thing just thinking out loud, trying to decide in my head what I wanted to do. On to Facebook. I have 112 still, no new likes. I'm still trying to, the hope is to get to 150. But here's the thing. I don't really know what to do here. I apparently am not interesting enough to make a couple of posts per week, or I'm just too lazy. Like I need to buckle down and do it. But even if I do that, I don't really know. That's not going to attract new people. That might engage the people that are currently on there,
yeah,
which is fine. The majority of them are Facebook friends of my personal account anyway. So I don't really know what to do. I opened it up today and you know how Facebook, I'm sure you get this too, where you'll get notifications from your ads page on your author page that says, hey, here's a $5 credit. Well, today they offered me a $20 credit if I spend $10. So what I'm going to do, I think today or tomorrow, I'm off work tomorrow. What I'm going to do today or tomorrow is maybe take an hour, open up Mark Dawson's Facebook for Authors course that I paid for. And, or it's the Ads for Authors course is what I paid for. And one of the modules is Facebook for Authors. And maybe just kind of watch some of the videos and see if I can get some ideas of what I can do in there to attract more likes to the page. I don't want to spend a whole lot of money. I just have one book right now. Again, I've really stopped with most of the advertising because it was fun. It was cool to see my name and I got into the top 20 on science fiction authors for a brief day or so. And it was really cool to see my name next to, you know, Stephen King and some of the other authors that were up there. And don't be surprised if I just one day decide to do that again, because I enjoy watching the ranking go up. But right now I'm just kind of playing around. I'm not really playing with ads. I have some Amazon ads out there, but I'm not really paying much for those. I think I've spent $10 in the last 3 months total on Amazon ads. I have like 10 ads running. So I think in that case, I may take a look at his Facebook for Authors and just see if there's a couple of ideas of something that I can do, something I can try out and try to get some traffic there. I mean, if I have 600 email subscribers and maybe 150, that'll give me 750 total people that I can market to basically at no cost, because I can just post in my Facebook page or I can send an email out. And then I think because they offered me this credit, $20 if I spend 10, maybe based on the Mark Dawson Facebook for Authors, maybe I'll take a week and just run some ads every day. I know Facebook ads are working really well for a lot of people right now. The people that I listen to on podcasts, they seem to be working better than Amazon ads. But the issue with Facebook ads is you pay every time somebody views the ad, where with Amazon, you can show it to a million people, but if nobody clicks it, you don't pay them a dime.
Yeah.
So there's pros and cons there on which one to use. Let's see. And then lastly, my cover. I know last week I talked about emailing Stuart Bache's people to see you know, what I'm doing with the cover. It's May 24th. I haven't heard it from them yet. I haven't seen anything yet, but they did respond to me earlier this week and say, and I'm just going to read the email. I wrote and said, hey, is there anything I need to do? I don't know how the process works. Do you get a hold of me? Whatever. And she wrote back and she said, thank you for getting in touch. I hope you're well. That was nice. Your cover is currently being worked on by the designer. You should have initial concepts by the end of this month. We've received your brief and didn't have any questions. I wrote a really long brief to them on my main character, the characters, the side, two side characters that have POVs, what's going on with the first book. I linked to the first, I put a ton of stuff in it. So I'm guessing next week when I talk to, on the podcast, that's May 31st, I could have initial concepts in front of me that I can talk about. I'm really excited about getting this. And then I already signed up for them and prepaid the down payment for my third book, which they're supposed to do in August, which could be a problem right now because I know who one character is, but I have no idea who the other two POVs. after I finish this, when I sit down and plot it, and once I plot it, I can get them the information. I hate deadlines. Anyway, so that's where I am with my cover. That is my news for the week. Just kind of going over a lot of the stuff that I go over, updating the numbers, and just thinking out loud, apparently, is what I'm doing. Here,
so. What did you do last week?
So last week was pretty similar to every week that I've had for the last 2 months. I work from home all week, golf on Tuesdays. I write at lunch. Friday, I'm out at noon. I think I wrote every day except for, I didn't write Tuesday because I work through lunch on Tuesdays because I have to leave my house an hour early to get to golf because, you know, when I work, we had a meeting on, I think it was Monday. We had a meeting where the boss was telling us about the plans to get us back in the office. Doesn't seem like it's going to happen for another month or so, because we can all work from home just fine. We're in IT. It's there, not much difference between me being here or me being there, or I don't know, me being at your house and working every day.
Yeah. If you come to my house and work, I have a foot massager under the desk.
Oh, is that Kian or?
No, it's a little foot massager. You stick your feet in there and you push the buttons and okay, it massages your feet and it's wonderful.
Yeah. Cause that would have been uncomfortable. So that's good that it's a machine.
definitely not Kian.
Okay. Good. So yeah, that's a consideration, by the way. We'll talk about that more off the podcast, but like I said, I'm working from home. I can work from anywhere and get the same amount of work done and have no hangups about being somewhere else. That's a consideration. Let's see. I don't think I wrote on Wednesday either. I think I did. I didn't write, but then Thursday I did. Yesterday I did really, I had fun yesterday with one of my chapters I was working on. I did go to the Home Depot because I am starting this whole curb appeal process in my front yard where I'm going to mulch and I bought some rocks, some stones, and I'm going to plant some flowers, all kinds of fun stuff that I'm doing this weekend. I start, what you looking at me funny? What's wrong?
I'm just looking at the outline and it says hamburger.
Yeah. So this is what I tell people. I call it the hamburger metaphor. When you see a TV commercial for, let's say, Wendy's, and they have a picture of a hamburger, it looks amazing, right? Yeah. And then you start picturing in your head, okay, I'm going to go to Wendy's and I'm going to get that hamburger. And then you get it and it looks nothing like the actual commercial. So yeah. I have this idea in my head for what I want my front yard to look like. And it's amazing. It is amazing. I've talked to some, I walked across the street yesterday and talked to a neighbor that I haven't talked to in like 5 years. She was out on her porch. I just wanted to know what the plant was in front of her porch, which introverted Jerry doesn't do that, but you know, extroverted Jerry does.
So, extroverted Jerry also gets sick.
True. Although extroverted Jerry has not got the coronavirus yet, as far as he knows.
Well, you've been pretty introverted this past few months.
I'm kind of hoping that I got it at some point. I'm hoping that they say that the earliest they saw it in Ohio was in January. I'm really hoping that when I was in Vegas in November for the 20 books thing, and I came back and I was in a Facebook messaging group with about 25 people. We all ziplined together and everybody in that group started talking about how they got sick. And then I got sick too. And I blamed it on extroverted Jerry, but I'm really hoping it was the coronavirus.
Yeah.
I realized that was November and it probably wasn't. But I don't know. Sick.
I'm pretty sure Kian and I had it in February when I took him to the hospital for that asthma attack. I'm pretty sure that's what he had, you know, looking now at the symptoms and what he went through. So,
and maybe we're just hopeful that we got a deadly virus, but
that we survived it.
Yeah. So I am doing this, this curb appeal process. So Friday I went to Home Depot and I bought, Friday morning I had mulch delivered. I had mulch delivered to my house. So there's 2 yards of mulch sitting beside my house. The problem with getting mulch delivered to your house in a big pile is then you have to do something with it, or it just sits in a big pile. And as you know, I'm not a outdoorsy person, but I went and got a wheelbarrow from the dad yesterday. And yesterday I laid the mulch in front of my porch, around to the side, and then around the tree. Then I went back to Home Depot yesterday and I bought 5 bags of crushed marble because I want to build like a little walkway.
Uh-huh.
The funny thing about the crushed marble is it's so heavy that I put 2 bags of it in the cart, and then I put up 1 bag of soil because I have a little garden in the back I'm going to plant this year. And I took it to the checkout person and said, okay, I'll be back for 3 more bags. I can't put them in this cart because I wouldn't be able to push it. So I paid, put everything in my car, came back in and bought 3 more bags of it. And it's good because they were heavy. And now they're in the back end of my car. I have to go get them. So today after we're done, I'm going to go outside. I'm going to put the rocks down and see how they look. I might need to buy more bags. I'm not sure. And then I'm going to go back to Home Depot and get more bags of crushed marble if I need to. They're only like $5 a bag. And then get pavers, you know, like little.
Yeah.
I never heard the word pavers until I started watching the DIY channel. Or what's the other one? Home DIY and the other one that shows gardening stuff and house.
Yeah,
stuff.
Okay.
I can't remember. And they started talking about pavers. And really all it is like bricks that act as a sidewalk. Uh-huh. Yeah, so I'm going to buy some of those and put those in there. And then hopefully I have hostas that I'm going to plant in the front of the house, and azaleas, or I like to call them Iggy azaleas, that I'm going to plant on the side of the house. Yeah, I feel like I want to walk into Home Depot and just say, do you guys have any Iggy azaleas? And just have them look at me funny. And then I bought just random colored plants, like different colors. And when I plant the azaleas, I'm just going to throw seeds all around them of these random ones and just see what comes up and what doesn't. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's my plan for yesterday, today, and tomorrow, along with the writing.
So I feel like after you spread the rocks, you might be lying on the couch with ice on your back and not able to move tomorrow.
I did the mulch yesterday with the idea of doing the rocks when I got home from Home Depot yesterday, but I was really tired. I was really tired from the mulch.
Yeah. We had, we have these big flower beds in front of our house. And when we moved here, they were these bright white rocks that like glistened in the sun.
Oh.
My house is brown. My house is brown brick with brown trim. It's brown. And these bright white rocks looked awful. They just looked so out of place. So last spring, I shoveled these rocks from the flower bed and made a pile on the side of my house beside my garbage can. And then every week before I took my garbage can to the road, I would shovel like 5 scoops of rock. It took about 8 months to get rid of these terrible rocks. But after scooping them from the flower beds, I thought I was crippled, paralyzed. Yeah. I don't even know. It was hard.
How were the guns? Were the arms good after that? You have some muscle?
No.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's gone since then. Yeah. But now we have mulch and it's much nicer because mulch is brown.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess with my house, I think the white rocks will be fine. I mean, they're in kind of a shady area. You can't see them that well anyway because they're right.
Well, your house is a nice, like a slate blue color. So it's going to look nice there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. So that was my week. A lot of writing, actually, a lot more than I had done the last couple weeks, which is good. One thing I did was I'm in the middle of this chapter, which is really long. And I'd been working with the same POV character for 5 or 6 days in a row. And I was really getting bored with her. So I just jumped to a chapter later in the book where there's some action. And now I've been working my way backwards from that chapter. So like, I think I got chapter 24 or 25 is where I was. I skipped a couple of them that need to be written from scratch. But then 2 days ago, I jumped to chapter 38. And then yesterday I did chapter 37. And today, I know 39, then 38. Today I'll do chapter 36. And I'll eventually work back to where I was, or I'll just jump again. I don't, whatever. I just want to get them done. And I'm kind of jumping around to make them fun. So I did that. That is my recap for last week. I don't know. I feel like I did more work than you finally. Did I?
I mean, I write every day.
Oh, that's more than me.
We have dinner at down at Anna's house every, like, 7 days a week. We go down there for dinner. Yeah, and a lot of times, like, we'll usually in the morning, one of us will text you, hey, what are we having for dinner tonight? And then I might have some ingredients and she might have some ingredients or, you know, whatever. So it's not like she's just feeding my family every day. Like, we do contribute. We finished the Marvel movies on Monday. And then we started watching 80s movies, which I love so much. So far, we've watched The Breakfast Club, Real Genius, Weird Science, The Goonies, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and Splash. But I've learned that while I was able to do my revisions while the Marvel movies were on, I can't do that with 80s movies because I really like to watch them. So I've been using about 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. as my writing time. And then once we go over to Anna's, we eat, we put on movies, and I just watch the movies. So I am still writing, and you know, the last, I don't know, month or so, I've been writing 7 days a week. It might only be an hour one day, but it's still like getting something done. Monday I had one class, Tuesday I had one class, Wednesday I taught four classes, and then we had to go to the school. We couldn't get out of our cars, but we drove around the back of the school, and all the teachers were there with tables set up, and in you know, brown grocery bags, they had emptied out the kids' desks and put all of their belongings in this brown bag and wrote their name on it. So we went over to the school and we went through the drive-through, and Kian got to see his teacher for the last time this year, and we got his big bag of stuff. And she's really excited to read my book, which is fun. So I gave her a business card, but then I gave her like five extras to hand out to her friends because my marketing plan is shot. And then Thursday I had to teach four classes and I got my hair done, which was nice. It's always nice to get back to a little bit of normalcy. Friday I had two classes, and that's when I finalized the chapters, prologue through five, and the questions for the betas, and got those sent off. Like I said, I was going to wait until Monday, but I got a little excited, so they now have that. And actually, I just got a text from one of my betas. She said, I downloaded the chapters last night and read until 4 a.m. Wow. So that's promising that she kind of felt like she couldn't put it down. Yesterday we had the Zoom call with our military friends, which was like 3 hours long. I think it was our longest Zoom call. It was just really fun. We started to play a game, but then like Doug's phone died, and then Paris had to go pick up her boyfriend from some place. I don't even know where. So, and then we just started talking and we kind of forgot about the game. But I think next week I'm going to set it up so that we play the newlywed game. So Jeremy and I have been married the longest at, it'll be 23 years in July. And then Melissa and Reed have been married 19 years. Doug and Dana have been married 13 years. And then Paris and Kevin are going to play. They're not married. For those of you who don't know, Paris is my 20-year-old daughter. But they're also going to play. So that should be pretty fun. And then Sunday today, we have the podcast. I do laundry. I'm going to catch up on mom's edits. And then, of course, we'll go down to Anna's, you know, for dinner and our 80s movie. I think tonight we're going to watch Short Circuit. I'm not positive about that. It's something that we had talked about last night. And then if we have time to watch a second movie, I think we'll probably either watch A Princess Bride or Beetlejuice.
Do you remember when we were kids? I'm pretty sure this happened. I may even talked about on the podcast before. I don't remember. We went to the drive-in with the parents and we watched a double feature. And the two movies we watched, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, were Short Circuit 2 and Caddyshack 2.
Two of the
worst sequels of all time. And we watched both of them in one night.
Yeah. Oof. I think I fell asleep. I don't think I stayed awake for all of it. I was young though, so.
Yeah, I don't remember. I just remember the idea of it happening. I don't remember anything about it. Anyway.
I mean, I remember sitting in the back seat of the car and we had popcorn, but I don't remember anything more than that, really.
God, those are terrible. But
we probably won't watch those in our 80s marathon here.
No, but Short Circuit and Caddyshack are two actually really great fun movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should, I just want to, I'm looking at the list here that you mentioned. And I think you should throw in a couple of John Candy movies. Like, was it One Crazy Summer? No.
Yeah.
One Crazy Summer was Jonathan Silverman.
John Cusack.
John Cusack. And yeah. Booger from Revenge of the Nerds. That's a great movie. Yeah. Summer Rental. That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah. We actually talked about John Candy movies last night because I don't remember why we talked about John Candy. But anyway.
John Candy was awesome.
Yeah. So we talked about like what a huge part of our childhood John Candy was. And so we'll definitely throw in John Candy movies for sure. We keep saying that we're going to make a list, but then we just like randomly pick movies and we've never made the list. My running things to do, I need to send a sample chapter to the editor. I need to do that today. I need to decide which one it is and send it out today and get this off my list. I also need to make a Google form for the street team, which, yeah, I'll do that sometime.
Mine, so the very first one on my list, I actually started working on, which it's rare right now that I work on anything that's on my running future list of things to do list, but it's my MailerLite automation sequence. I realized today that I had created a separate automation for Prolific Works promo people that talked about the book that they had just downloaded. So my book was called Origins. It's my novella. And when they signed up for it, I would send them an email and say, thanks. Then 5 minutes later, send them another email that said, by the way, if you had any trouble downloading it from Prolific Works, here's a link. And then maybe 7 days later, I sent an email that said, just, did you enjoy it? Here's where you can leave a review. If you did enjoy it, check out book one in the novel series. And then maybe a month later, I said, by the way, did you get a chance to read book one in the novel series? If so, here's where you leave a review. And then the last one was maybe 2 or 3 months later, it says, join my street team. And I've actually gotten some responses on that, which is nice. But what I realized was I never updated prolific work. I never updated book funnel or story origin to use that automation sequence. They're using the same automation sequence as the people who read book one and signed up, which is bad. So this morning I went in and changed it so that now anybody who signs up on book funnel or story origin and downloads that novella, they're getting the automation sequence that goes with that novella.
Mm.
And I started thinking about that. That's really cool that you can kind of customize. One of the things I'm going to do now as I continue to work on that automation sequence is customize it a little bit more. It's almost like you can hold someone's hand along the process of reading your books based on which book they started with to get to that automation sequence, if that made sense. Mm-hmm. When I do one for book one, I want them to read book one and then I want them to go get the novella. And when they read book the novella, I want them to go read book one. Once book two comes out, it'll change even more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go through there today or tomorrow. I have both days off and I love it. And I'm going to work on the automation sequence and I might even design the one for book two. Book two is an entry point into the series. You can actually buy book two without buying book one. And if you like it, you can then buy book one. I was watching a video. I don't have this on the outline, but I was watching a video earlier this week from Jenna Moresi. And in this video, she talked about what is the term she used? I'm going to find it on my computer. Again, you're witnessing me live Google, which is what I seem to do now. What's a companion novel is the name of her video. And a companion novel, ooh, we heard her talking for a minute. A companion novel is, according to her, this is her definition. I think it's probably different for everyone. But it's a novel that kind of works along with the main novel, maybe from a different character's point of view. You see a lot of the same events. The way she described it is exactly what book two and book three are. And she even said in there, they are also entry points into the series, which they're going to be entry points into the series. So I didn't want to call it a companion novel. I wanted to call it its own novel, but then I realized I don't care what it's called. Now I can create a separate automation sequence for this novel that takes them to book one if I want to.
Mm-hmm.
And when book three comes out, I can do the same thing. Everything should lead to book four because that's going to be the next novel in the series that runs time-wise after those first three. Based on that, each one of those books, I think, can have their own automation sequence. And I'm actually, based on her video and what I was hearing Paul T say yesterday, I'm really excited about that. So, that's pretty cool that I can do that. And the rest of the stuff on there, Create the web page for people who finish book one. I'll get to that. I actually have this idea in my head that I probably won't do. It's like the hamburger theory, where that actually sounds like a Big Bang episode title.
Yeah.
Where people can go to this page because all three books are going to be entry points. You put little check boxes in the ones you've read, and it will load the characters on the screen as you put a check mark in, so that you don't get any spoilers. So if you've read book one and three, but not two, I won't give you any Linda spoilers because she's all about book two. I'm a web programmer for a living. I could probably figure that out. I don't know if I want to, but I think it's an interesting idea. And then the newsletter swap. I think I talked about this last week, but I was trying to figure out why somebody would do a newsletter swap instead of a group promo. With a group promo, I mean, I have the one I'm in today, 158 books. Let's say it's 150 authors. I'm going to be in the newsletter of 150 different authors, 1,000 people each. It's 150,000 people that I could get sent out to.
Yeah.
And I kept saying, why would I just want to do one author's newsletter? Well, then I realized that when somebody clicks the link for 158 books, they don't always download my book. But if I go to an author who has 1,000 subscribers and I'm the only book in, it's not even a link, it's in their newsletter, my book is mentioned, then potentially you get more people that would click your book and download it because it's dedicated to just that book. So I'm still looking into this whole story origin thing. I want to do it. I'm going to wait till book two comes out, but I want to do it. Patreon and autographed paperbacks, I want to get up at some point. I just haven't got there yet. It's kind of I call it my running list, but it really doesn't change much.
Well, hey, I think you're going to be able to pull something off of that list today. And so am I.
Yeah.
So,
which is nice.
That's good. Yeah.
Means I can add something else that I don't do. My chair, my computer chair, just my desk chair just broke. That's weird. Anyway. All right. The addicted to.
What are you addicted to this week?
Apparently it's Home Depot, that because I've gone there three straight days. Well, I went there Friday and Saturday, and I'll go back today and potentially I'll go back tomorrow. I need to get the plants are the last things I need to get, but I'm waiting until the end to do those. I also want to. So my side yard needs a lot more work than my front yard. I can't grow grass in most of the areas of my side yard, so I'm going to mulch it.
Mm-hmm. So you should put down artificial turf and then put a putting hole.
So that's a really good, great idea. I've thought of that before. It's expensive. I've looked at artificial turf before. It's really expensive. It might be after I get through my debt repayment plan, maybe next summer, it's something I look into.
Yeah.
That actually is a really good idea. I wonder if I could plant real grass and just cut it low enough, like a green. It's probably a specific type of grass that they have on greens. I'm not sure.
It's a shaded area, though. You don't get much sunlight on that side of the house.
And that's the problem. That's why I can't grow grass over there. But the front of it, I actually get more sun because there's not a tree blocking it. I don't know. I'm going to work on that a little bit today. I built a standing like garden bed about six or 7 years ago. And I use it about every other year. And this year I'm going to use it. I'm going to plant cucumbers and corn. I love one time I planted cucumbers there and I planted.
Isn't it kind of late to plant corn?
Oh, the seeds that I bought says June.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. One time I planted so many cucumbers. I didn't realize it. It was the first time I ever planted cucumbers. I had like 25 to 30 cucumbers that I literally cut up and put into this giant bowl in my fridge, mixed with vinegar and water, and I would just walk by my fridge the same way that you do with Anna's cookies. I would just literally open my fridge, grab three cucumbers and then continue on my day. It's a great snack. So I made
Jeremy is really upset, by the way, because I forbade Anna from making more cookies. And Jeremy is jonesing for cookies. And she says, no, I can't make them. Lindsay says I can't make them. So he's a little upset with her.
can't she just make some for him?
No, because I'll eat them.
Oh. Well, what if they're at her house and then during your movie nights, they're just near him?
I will eat them. I will tackle him to the ground and steal them. They're so good.
You may have a real addiction, not this little addicted to stuff we're doing here.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't typically have an addictive personality, but those cookies, in the outline here, I put nothing, but I might have to revise that. I make this, it's really generic. So, the pasta, the little spirals, I don't know what they're called, but they're like the multicolored ones. They're like the veggie spirals or whatever. I boil about 2 ounces of those and drain them and rinse them in cold water. And then I, you know, get the water off. I actually use a salad spinner to get the water off of them. And I put them in a bowl. And then I put black olives, sliced black olives.
I like that.
I slice up string cheese, like 2 things of string cheese. Okay. And then these little mini pepperonis. And then I put Italian dressing, the Robusto Italian dressing, and I mix it up. And it's like this little pasta salad. Actually, last week, I was cutting up the cheese and I cut the tip of my middle finger off.
Watch that.
Yeah. It's better now, but it was bad. Like I cut the tip of my finger off.
Nice.
Anyway. So I was thinking while I was doing the outline, well, I'm not really addicted to anything this week, but the further we get into the outline, the more I'm thinking, I really want pasta salad. And I had it yesterday and I had it the day before and I had it the day before. So I'm going to put that in my addicted to pasta salad, generic, like I don't really like vegetables like you're supposed to put in these pasta salads. That's what I'm addicted
to. Black olives. You're good.
Yeah.
It's healthy. Okay.
We'll move on. So this week, Monday and Tuesday, I don't have any classes. I actually blocked off my schedule a couple of months ago because we were supposed to go to Florida this weekend. Jeremy's twin brother and his wife live down there. I'm not too far from Disney, and some friends that we met in Mexico last spring they live in Slough, actually, England.
Nice.
They were going to come to Disney for a couple of weeks, like a little mini family reunion. So we were going to go down there and see Jeremy's twin brother and his wife, and then take a day and go to Disney and see our friends from England. But of course, they're not allowed to travel, and actually, we're not allowed to travel that far either. The military has this stop movement thing happening right now. So I don't have any classes, and I'm not in Florida, which kind of stinks.
Your friends who live in Slough, I'm just curious, do they work at a certain paper company?
No,
okay.
They do not.
Just checking.
No. Yeah. I'm really not sure what they do. He is very successful in his line of work, whatever that is. They got married last year in the Maldives. I don't really know how to say that. Yeah. They vacation to different countries a few times a year. And they don't stay in motels. They're 5-star all the way.
Oh, okay.
Again, I have no idea what they do for a living, but they're really, really awesome people. And we had so much fun hanging out with them in Mexico, and I hope that we get to see them again soon. So on Monday and Tuesday, basically I have no classes. I'm going to work on that prologue to give mom time to like move forward with book one. I'm going to compose my monthly newsletter and send that out on Tuesday. Wednesday I have 4 classes. And then in the afternoon I'm going to watch Anna's kids because she has a hair appointment. And then Kian has allergy shots. The okay thing about allergy shots now is Jeremy's home. And Jeremy gets allergy shots. So the boys can just go and I can stay home and actually be alone in my house. It'll be amazing.
Nice.
Thursday, I teach 4 classes and I'll work on the prologue. Friday, I only have 1 class. I'll work on the prologue. I need to take Oliver to the vet. He's my 5-year-old Australian Shepherd. In the mornings, his eyes are leaking like green goopy. They don't seem to hurt him or itch or anything. But then we also found this like cyst or something on his abdomen. So I just want to make sure that it's not a big deal. So Friday, I'm going to take him into the vet and have those 2 things checked out. Saturday, we have our Zoom call with our military friends, which like I said, I think we're going to do the newlywed game. And it's funny, Jeremy and I have been married the longest. And every time we play that game, we lose terribly.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know why. And then I'll work on draft 6 of the book and kind of catch up to whatever mom did during the week. I'll do that on Saturday and Sunday. Sunday, the podcast and laundry, and that's my week.
Mine is a little different than normal because of the holiday. I'm going to work outside today in the morning and in the early afternoon because at 3 p.m. I'm excited. There's a golf tournament on.
Golf.
It's Tiger Woods. Yeah, you didn't know what Tiger versus Phil meant.
Well, my first thought was the Tiger King versus Phil Collins, but that made absolutely no
definitely
sense.
Definitely makes. Although I would be interested in watching that too.
Like, I don't know what they would do. Is the Tiger King going to sing and Phil Collins is going to tame Tiger? I don't really. I don't know.
It's like anyway, a wife swap. It's a job swap. Yeah, job swap. So I wrote Tiger versus Phil in the outline. That's why she's confused. So Tiger versus Phil. So it's Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson. And I love both of those golfers. They're both very fun to watch. And they did it last year. I believe it was Black Friday. They did it last year and it was pay-per-view. And I was absolutely going to pay for it because I like watching them golf. I don't think I've ever paid for anything in my life pay-per-view before, except for that golf match. Well, this year it's on, you know, regular TV, and they actually have some, it's not a twosome this year, it's a foursome. I'm not sure who's on whose team, but joining them to golf will be Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. So it's going to be like, it's going to be like Tiger Woods and Tom Brady versus Phil Mickelson and Peyton Manning, or the other way around. I'm not sure who's on whose team, but it's kind of fun because those two, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are, you know, their teams, the Patriots and the Colts, were huge rivals. Well, they were both, and then Peyton went to Denver. They were huge rivals the whole time they were both playing. They were always meeting in the playoffs, always seemed to play each other in the regular season. And Tiger and Phil are obviously rivals too. So it's going to be fun. And then Phil Mickelson and Peyton Manning, as far as I know, are really good at smack talk. I never knew Tiger to be much of a smack talker, although he probably is, but he's way too serious. He's really serious when he golfs. So hopefully this is a little more fun for him. Even during the one on Black Friday, he wouldn't play to the fans like Phil was. Phil would just be like, $1 million as I make this putt and you don't, you know, and Tiger usually didn't take it, but because Phil's a big gambler. So
yeah,
I think this one will be a little bit more fun now that Tiger knows what he's supposed to be doing. And Tom Brady, I don't know if Tom Brady's a smack talker. He probably is, but
would imagine he is.
Yeah. You never really saw it as much. I guess with Peyton Manning, you see it more because he's out of football and he comes on to Saturday Night Live and it's hilarious. There's a skit with him on Saturday Night Live where he's teaching, I think, like kids in a backyard football study how to play, and he's yelling at him. He's zooming balls at him. The whole thing is hilarious. So I'm hoping that Tom Brady's really fun to watch too. I'm not a Tom Brady fan in terms of football, but we'll see how this goes. So I'm going to do my outside stuff before 3 o'clock and then come in and work on my next chapter and have that golf tournament on at 3 o'clock. Tomorrow's Memorial Day. I'm off work, which is awesome. More stuff outside, more stuff inside. Tuesday, I golf, so I'll work through lunch, no writing. Wednesday and Thursday, I'm just going to do normal days, get up at 6:30, work till 11:30, write until 1, and then work until 4:30 and get on the treadmill and then decide after that if I want to write or not. Usually I don't, but we'll see. If I have a chapter that's close to getting done, I'll take care of it. Friday is a half day. I'll work 7 to 11. And then after work, I've been getting in my car and driving places after that work at 11 a.m., whether I have errands to run. I think this past Friday, I just went to Chipotle and got lunch and then came home. And then later in the day, I went to Home Depot. So we'll see what happens Friday. And then same with Saturday. You know, I went to Chick-fil-A yesterday morning to the drive-thru again, and it was very funny. I was in line with a bunch of cars behind me, and I just said to the girl, I said, hey, when do you guys plan on open? I said, are you guys open in the lobby anytime soon? Because Ohio was allowed to open up the restaurants last week on Thursday. And she just kind of looked at me, and she looked behind me at all the cars behind me. Then she looked over at the screen, and she goes, let me just read this. And she looked at me, and she went, no. And I went, she started laughing. And I went, thanks for being blunt. And she's like, no problem. It was very funny. Actually, she said my pleasure, because that's what I think legally you have to say my pleasure at Chick-fil-A when somebody says thank you.
Oh,
one time I remember I opened the door for one of the employees and they said thank you to me. So I said my pleasure back to them. And then I thought to myself, yeah, it's a taste of your own medicine.
Well, hey, just so you know, when you come down here, Moe's and Chick-fil-A are on the same corner.
I mean, that's breakfast and lunch for me every day.
Yeah.
Pretty much. We'll see. If I come down there, but that was literally spur of the moment this morning when we were talking.
If we can buy tickets to Vegas spur of the moment, you can buy a ticket to Georgia.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's, you know, I'm trying to do the debt repayment plan. It's like $300. I'd rather drive. To be honest with you, I'd rather drive. Like I'd rather drive.
12-hour drive.
I know. I'd rather do that on a Saturday and then leave on Saturday is what I would rather do, I think, than fly. Hmm. Because there's a lot of hassle that I'd want to pack the podcasting equipment and I'd have two laptops, my work laptop. I'd have my work laptop, my regular laptop. You know, there's a lot of stuff there. So I think I'd rather drive if I was going to do it. So we'll see.
You will.
Let's see. So that is all I have. And I believe that is the podcast. Do you have anything else?
No, you have Saturday on here and it's just blank. So let me just fill that in.
Okay, she's writing
to Lindsay's house in Georgia.
Oh, that's tentative. We'll talk about that.
Well, it's on the outline.
Right.
It's like in black ink.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about that after the podcast. So anyway, if you don't have anything else, that's all I have. All right. So you can find me at jerry@jerryevanoff.com is my email address. My website, jerryevanoff.com. Find me on Twitter and Facebook just by searching my name. The links will be in the show notes.
Okay. Oh, sorry. my website is lindsayevanoff.com. You can email me at lindsay@lindsayevanoff.com. I'm on Facebook, facebook.com/lindsayevanoffauthor. I'm on Instagram @lindsayevanoffauthor and on Twitter, @evanofflindsay. So if you like our podcast, give us a review on the podcast page, and until next week.
Thank you for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the New Author Podcast. Check back next week for another episode. And for more information, find Jerry at www.jerryevanoff.com and Lindsay at www.lindsayevanoff.com.